Please pray with me. Lord God, we thank you that we are not alone, but we walk this earth with a great cloud of witnesses. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer, who was and is and will be. Amen. This Tuesday, you and I are going to elect a new president of the United States. And whoever wins, that event will bring to an end both high theater and low. And many of us, as you think about your families and friends and Americans, many of us will be downcast and many of us will be ecstatic and some of us will be cynical and say, whatever. It'll be interesting to see what happens Monday through Wednesday. I'm leading in charge of putting together a minister's retreat for the Presbytery of San Francisco down in the Santa Clara Valley, and we come from all points of view. And tomorrow night we're going to bring our stoles or other symbols of ordination, and we're going to have a remembrance of our ordination. And then on Tuesday night we're going to scatter and watch TVs. And on Wednesday, we're going to have communion together before we leave. It'll be interesting to see how strong the glue is that holds us together, beyond partisan politics and also religious orthodoxy or not. I suspect that's going on in various ways all over the place. So with that in front of us, I invite you to just be here for the moment and use your imagination from two perspectives for a moment. I wish to invite you to picture yourselves on the bank of the Jordan River, the eastern bank, some, who knows, 1,500, 1,700 years before Christ. And you have been traveling for many years through the wilderness. In fact, your parents and grandparents are no longer with you. But you are their descendants, and you are completing this 40-year journey. And you have come to this watery barrier which separates you from the Promised Land. And you have heard Joshua's words, and you are one of the great crowd of people waiting on the bank. And you watch those 12 priests, one of which was from each of the 12 tribes, carry the ark, which is a box of acacia wood with the Ten Commandments inside, hung from poles. And they go down to the river, and they step into it. And I invite you to take the account literally during this time. And according to the word of Joshua, the water, which is in flood, begins to taper off and finally stop as the priests go deeper and deeper into the riverbed until they stop at the very center. And there they stand, holding that box, the wet gravel and rocks and mud clearly visible. And you, as part of the crowd, surge forward. And you also begin walking across that riverbed. And eventually you pass the priests as they stand there. And I would guess your heart is full of joy, for the journey is over. Maybe there are tears, lots of memories. You can hardly believe what is happening, for behind you is wilderness. In front of you is what's been called the land of milk and honey, the Promised Land. And you know it's not all over, but you know that this part of the journey is nearing its completion. And you are seeing it with your own eyes. And now I invite you to be one of the 12 priests. And yes, they're all Jewish and all male. So those of you who are not Jewish and male, find your place. One of you is from each tribe. And you have spent the last day sanctifying yourself, making yourself holy, renewing your relationship with God. And you, together with the other 11, pick up the poles and bear the weight of God between you. And you walk towards the water with all the people watching. And you step into the Jordan. And it happens. The water becomes lower. And as you walk forward, the footing gets easier. And your heart is filled with joy, with reverence, with awe. Until finally you stand in the middle with the other 11, bearing God's presence between you. And you stand there, and your heart is light, even though the burden may be heavy. And you hear the people coming up behind you, and you see them going around you and beyond you toward the further bank. And you know that you are a doorway. You are in the vanguard. You have prepared the way for the people. You are one of the priests who have been given the special honor to stand between the people and their God and to make the way clear, so they may finish the last crossing. And there are a lot of people, and the wait is very long. And you stand there. And it is good. What's the significance of this crossing over? It's manifold. After a long, long wandering, there's a long-held hope that is now coming to fruition. The goal is almost reached. The milestone is right in front of us. The wilderness journey is over. Now, as I was reading this and rereading it, I couldn't help but think of the article I read about those African Americans, many of whom are voting for the very first time in their lives, this election. Why? Because there's a candidate who mirrors them, who is them, that they can identify with for the very first time. And many of them are voting in advance because they know that their votes have often not counted in the past. There have been ways to prevent that from happening. And they are voting in great numbers. This crossing of the Jordan is also a recap of Genesis. It's like a new creation where God divides the waters so there is water and there is dry land. Something new is happening here. It's not like the Red Sea being opened so the Israelites could escape from slavery. This is a new opening. This is not an escape. It's a doorway to freedom. And it is truly for them a new creation. New possibilities opening up. Can you imagine the strength of conviction and courage to walk into an uncertain, chaotic place? Because that's what water, for the ancient Israelites, that's what it represented, chaos, the forces of chaos. To have the forces of chaos divided and dried up and dry land appear. At the beginning of the Exodus and at the end. Each of us has those times in our lives where we're exiting or entering something and we can hardly believe it's happening and we're a little worried about it or were joyful about it. And can you imagine the sense of communal identity among these people as they finish their long journey? They've been forged in the crucible of the wilderness. They've seen many of their people die. They've gone through very hard times. But they've come to faith in a liberator God, one who has brought them out of Egypt, the land of slavery, onto the border of the promised land. And I couldn't help thinking of those immigrants, many of whom are illegal, crossing borders, not just to our south, but everywhere. Because they have a deep desire for a better life, to escape from hardship or poverty or war, famine, toward the promise of something better for them. That's why people move. That's why our ancestors came here. The promise of a better life. And I also have in mind, because this is an interim time of this congregation, of saying goodbye to a long tenured pastor and entering into an interim time of uncertainty and ambiguity, because that's what this time is. And when will the river be crossed toward the other side? When will the questions be answered? When will we know who we are for sure again? And what about this ark, this box of acacia wood in which are the Ten Commandments, which was seen as the very representation of the Divine One? It was dangerous to handle. God was there. Surely it's a focal point, a reminder of God's presence in the midst of whatever people are going through. In their case, through the wilderness. Our physical reminder that they are not alone, that they are the people of this God. I am who I am. I will be whom I will be. The liberating God. For us today, perhaps this location, maybe this place. Maybe other places that just spring to mind when I say to you, think of a holy place, a place where you have met God. Perhaps it's a place that no longer exists except in our own memories. Perhaps it's the point in time when the possibilities of God seem so pregnant. It's like ripe fruit ready. You just could reach out and touch it. And you knew that whatever choice you made was profound. That God was there in a way that you don't always feel. And what about the river? The river is a liminal place, a place between, a place of boundaries, a place of transition. Liminal places are doorways and windows, volcanic calderas, gateways, bridges, caves, other places. These are all places of ambiguity, of neither here nor there, but in the middle somewhere. And until we cross them, we're neither here nor there. Think of there are places that are very famous for this. The island of Iona, for example, and other places. Perhaps this feels like such a place. Someone in my early weeks here called this a vortex of spiritual energy. A liminal place. That's also where you and I are time-wise now, in a place of transition, a place between what used to be and what will be. It's open, it's indeterminate, it's therefore uncomfortable. It's very hard to stay centered and anxiety-free in a liminal space. One feels necessary to move at some point. The presence of God is hard to handle after a while. I think this is why God has told Joshua that he must be brave and courageous, with courage and strength, to get through this time. And that's why you and I need courage and strength during transition points in our own lives, during this time together. Because we know what was, but we don't know what will be. We don't quite know where we are now. That's part of the reason we're doing things like timelines and talking about what's important about values of this church and the vision that may come out of this congregation about what you want to become in the future and what you want to spend your time and energy and money on. We need to depend upon God, who, after all, is the one who has brought us this far and who promises to go with us to the other side of Election Day, the other side of economic uncertainty, the other side of fill in the blank. It's only upon the strong rock of God's otherness that we can stand. And then with our own will and determination, go forward from there, empowered by the Spirit. And I think that's what keeps us from undue pride in our own cleverness, our own wisdom, our own ability to figure things out. Because in all things we are, first of all, dependent upon the source of all things, who has brought us here and now. We are channels of grace, after all, not the origin of grace. That should keep us humble. For we are followers of Jesus, who was and is the servant of all, the one for others. And I think what Jesus was talking about in that parable was that servants are willing to be for others. That's the key to practicing what we preach. The point of this is that he was excoriating the Pharisees for being hypocrites, not practicing what they preached. Well, we're always on the knife edge of that, aren't we? But if we are servants to others, then we truly dig deep and practice what we think, what we do preach, what we do say, what we believe. Hypocrisy is the scandal of the Christian church throughout time. Perhaps it's the scandal of any faith. This distance between intention and follow-through. This distance between what we say we believe and how we actually act in the world. Perhaps that's our fallenness. Perhaps that's a measure of how deeply we need God's grace. And perhaps the heart, the human soul, is a liminal place. Because within ourselves is the place where God can transform us if we are but willing. And we have the power to choose. Yes or no. Servant or master. So where does that leave us? I guess back at the river. That lies between here and there. In a sense, that's an image of life itself. Life is always changing, always coming at us. We want to hold it and encapsulate it and crystallize it and keep it safe, but we cannot. It keeps moving. And we are always invited to put one foot in front of the other, crossing the river, depending on the presence of God to be with us. Today we take the sacrament of communion. I think another liminal place. Whereas we take of common elements, we do so believing that we are being fed in a very deep way by the living one, who gave of himself as servant for all, that we might have life everlasting. But not just in the next life, but that we might explore and become that life here and now. And so the sacrament is God's way of strengthening us, of accepting us for who we are right now, and as an invitation to become what we are not yet. So I encourage you to enter into that place, that liminal place, meet God there in the riverbed, in the doorway, on the bridge, in the cave, whatever image fits as you take communion. And as you do that, you are not alone. We are together with one another. In the wilderness, crossing the river. And that's where God is. Please pray with me. Living One, go with us as we walk. Meet us, speak to us, touch us, help us. Amen.